Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today. Apologize just a little late. Yesterday was quarterback club. Today was hoops club. The way it is this time of the year. So I apologize if I'm just a couple minutes late. All right. So we'll start with this. Happy for Chris Young, the general manager of the Texas Rangers. And here's the reason why, because let's face it, I'm going to guess the vast majority of the audience would have no clue what I'm going to say here, but a great guy to deal with. Because he played in the Jordan Center against Penn State. He was Bill Carmody Center in the opening round of the NIT back in 2000. In fact, he had 16 points in the game against Penn State that night. Penn State won the game easily. I mean, I think Princeton only scored like 41, 42 points in the game. But he was the high post player that Carmody ran his entire offense through in the Princeton offense. Yes, that Chris Young, who played against Penn State in the Jordan Center in the 2000 NIT. Well, he's the general manager now of the Texas Rangers after going on to a fine Major League Baseball pitching career. And happy for him. It's under the category of something I doubt most people know. The general manager of the Texas Rangers played basketball in the Jordan Center against Penn State 23 and a half years ago. But I was a witness, so yes, I do remember. Bob Knight passed away at the age of 83. He had a contentious relationship with some members of the media, in particular, some members of the national media, which then brought with it a level of criticism for him. I will say this. Bob Knight was a man that trust was really important for him. If he trusted you, it meant everything. Because trust is a two-way street. And it doesn't mean he didn't get mad at people around him that he trusted, because he demanded excellence. But like Tim Garl was his trainer forever. Tim's still there, by the way, and Tim's one of the nicest guys on the planet. In fact, Tim did all the non-conference basketball scheduling for him. All right? And Tim Garl is a guy he trusted. And okay, Bob Hamill from the Bloomington Times-Herald trusted him. Didn't mean Bob didn't write what he saw, but Coach Knight trusted him. Don Fisher. Don's in his 51st season of broadcasting Indiana football and basketball. He broadcast all three Indiana national championships. It doesn't mean they had a great relationship all the time. You don't think he and I didn't talk about, you know, his relationship with Bob Knight? He asked me about Joe, and see, the thing about Joe is, like, 32 years with me. Never one cross word in 32 years. Zero. Zero. Now, it doesn't mean, but Bob Knight's a different kind of guy. But for the most part, okay, Don got through all those years because Bob Knight trusted him. It was about trust. And for me, I never had a single issue with Bob Knight in any time I interacted with him. And I truly believe to this day there are two big reasons why. Because Joe Paterno backed me up, and because a guy by the name of Bob Meininger backed me up. Bob Knight knew Bob Meininger when Bob worked at West Point. So they became friends over the years. Bob Knight would come over here and play golf with Bob Meininger at Center Hills. And Bob was a very close friend of mine. In fact, before he passed, he had been my attorney. But we were really close friends. And because of those two guys, essentially what they told him is, hey, look, he's a good guy, right? Because he got that endorsement from somebody he trusted, that's why I never had a single issue with him. Because people he trusted said, hey, don't worry about him. So I never had a problem with him. Now, did I see him have problems with other people? Sure. But you know what? He was a great coach. Let's talk about the coach, Bob Knight. The coach, Bob Knight, he demanded precision. So he demanded precise man-to-man defense. He demanded in his motion offense excellent screening and scrapes off the screen by the ball handler. Right off the hip. Boom. I remember the first Indiana-Penn State basketball game I did was Assembly Hall, courtside, opposite side of the benches. Today, when you look at Indiana, as you watch a game on TV, the camera angle you see is the sight line that we had. Now we're on the opposite side. Now we're behind the benches. All right, but hey, opposite the benches. And I remember watching this. And this was Calbert Chaney and Damon Bailey. And like, the precision, your courtside, the precision with which they ran their offense and their screening. The precision with which they ran their defense. Now, this is a year where Indiana ended up being... I mean, they were ranked number one. I think they ended up being an Elite Eight team that year. I don't think they made the Final Four. Right? They'd been a Final Four team in 92. And, of course, Penn State almost beat them here, as we all know. We've gone through that story a million times. Sam Licklider and Gene Mangi and those guys. Okay. But that's what struck me about watching them was the precision with which and how hard they played. Didn't matter who was in there. You didn't play hard for them, you were out. And then in a Big Ten tournament, it turned out that our broadcast location for the next game was right next to the Indiana bench. And he got a tee in the game. And the tee was from Art McDonald, and Art McDonald's another one of those officials I got along really well with. But this is one where Art was wrong. And I remember the next day reading the papers, Knight, blows top, gets, right? He didn't blow his top. He did not. I was sitting right there listening to it. He was yelling out at his players. He was yelling to A.J. Guyton because he needed somebody else to do something. So it looks like he's yelling at AJ, and he's yelling. There's a difference between yelling at somebody and yelling to somebody. He spent a lot of the game yelling to somebody so they could hear him because he needed them to tell them to do something else. And he went to the couple guys out there he trusted, right, to do it. Well, Knight had a question on a call. Never once swore at him. All right? And didn't belabor it, but said something, and it was really benign, in my opinion, that Art didn't like it, and he teed him. And he said, what the heck did I say? And he looked over at me, and I went, you didn't say anything. And, I mean, I literally looked at him and said, you didn't say anything. I mean, it was one of those where, and, oh, because it was Bob Knight, oh, well, oh, you know, it had to be him. Well, because I was sitting literally next to the bench, I was 5 feet from him as this exchange was going on, I can tell you in no uncertain terms, he absolutely did not deserve that. The official was actually wrong. So in a lot of ways, there are certain things that you look at and you'll say, nope, not excusable. I understand that. There are other parts that are misunderstood or based on reputation he got hit with he didn't deserve. The U.S. Olympic team, they had that Olympic flag in Assembly Hall for years until he left. And he was so proud of the fact that that team in 84 in Los Angeles, with Michael Jordan, among others, won the Olympic gold medal. And he worked that team hard, worked them hard. Because the United States in 72 had lost. And I think, if I recall, he may have had Hank Iba and Pete Newell on that staff with him. Okay? And Iba had been one of the assistant coaches. In fact, Iba might have been the head coach of the 72 team that got absolutely railroaded with the three attempts at the end of the game for the Soviet Union. And that's because of the loyalty part of it. Again, if he believed in you, right, and trusted you, that meant everything. Doesn't mean he didn't make mistakes in the way. Everybody makes mistakes along the way. But he's loved and revered in the state of Indiana. That's why it was finally great late in his life. And I think Bob Hamill had a lot to do with this, of getting him back to an Indiana basketball game so he could at least wave to the crowd. And there's one other element to it. You know, we've seen, and you'll see a lot said about the Neil Reed incident, which I totally understand that you would see it, and it's one of those negative elements in Coach Knight's career. But ask yourself why. Everybody who went through 4 years with him, and the vast majority, you know, of the guys he recruited did go the 4 years, why do they swear by him? That's always an interesting question to ask. Why does Calbert Chaney swear by him? Damon Bailey. Why does Isaiah Thomas wasn't there 4 years, but why does he? I mean, it's a long list. Mike Woodson, the current head coach. When you have people that are around somebody for a long time, and were coached hard by this guy for years, and they have entrenched loyalty to that person, that does say something. It does. Was Bob Knight perfect? No, of course not. And I have enough mutual friends, I had enough mutual friends in life with him. Okay? And, of course, my own personal interaction with him. There's exponentially more to like about him than maybe some of you realize. There's no question the public problem that came up. Yeah, there's no question, okay? Now, I understand why somebody would, because of, at times, the public persona, but that's not the... that's not the person all these people were loyal to. And again, the key with Coach Knight was, if he trusted you, he was good with you. I'll never forget 1987, the 86-87 season. Indiana won the national title, and he said, it's appropriate in a world where people bend the rules that the two champions in football and basketball are Joe Paterno and Penn State and Indiana.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, how are you doing? Did spend the first half hour of the show discussing Bob Knight's legacy career. And also mentioning that Chris Young, the general manager of the Texas Rangers, played in the Jordan Center against Penn State when he played Princeton basketball. Under the category of something you may not have known. 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Big Ten, this has nothing to do with the current situation in Michigan. 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Big Ten is going to announce the dates and locations of football games for next year. So they will have all of that. Okay? So that'll be at 4 this afternoon. In other words, when the show's over. I can tell you that Penn State is going to open the Big Ten schedule at home. And to me, that's one of the important elements that when you're doing these schedules, let's take away the issue of how many years Penn State's opened up on the road. Let's go back to what I talked about when Penn State opened on the road this year at Illinois. And I'm going to tell you what I mentioned to James Franklin, because we were just discussing it. This was not him like, oh, God. No, he didn't do that. He did not do that. I said, well, James, and this is a year ago when it came out. And I said, to be honest with you, I said, I'd rather open on the road in a year where I only have 4 conference home games. I said, now, if you have 5 conference home games, you should be opening at home. Anybody with 5 conference home games should be opening at home. That way the next 8 are 4 home, 4 away. See, that's the way I think it should work. That's why this year somebody said to me, oh, no, they're on the road again. I said, well, no, I'm glad they're on the road. You get one of the road games out of the way, and after that, you have 4 home, 4 away. It wasn't just one person. It was like a small group, and they were like, oh, you know what? That actually makes sense. When it's done right, you have people looking at it and go, okay, that makes sense. And that, to me, is the reasoning behind it. So if Penn State next year is scheduled to have 5 home games in the conference, well, they should be opening at home. That way, when it's over with, they have 4-4. In 25, when they have 4 home and 5 away, they should be opening away. For the simple reason, when it's done, you got 4-4 afterward. To me, that's where you should get that extra game out of the way. It's at the beginning. That way you're 4-4 the rest of the way. That's how I view it. But my understanding is, and it's been, I'm going to go back to months ago. But months ago I was told that Penn State was going to open 24 in the Big Ten at home. And they should, because not because of past history. No. But because they have 5 home games. in the conference. You should be opening at home. That way, when it's done, you're 4-4 afterward. That's why I had zero issue, zero. And I said it on the show. I told all of you. I said, I have no issue about them opening up on the road this year. Because they have the 5 road games. You don't want to play a home game and suddenly like, hey, I got 8 games left. 3 are at home and 5 are on the road. No, you don't want to do it that way. At least I don't. I'd rather have the first one happen, and then you're no matter what, you're still 4-4 after that, home versus away. So that's why I had zero issue with them opening up on the road this year. None. And that's why in past years when Penn State's opened on the road, I haven't liked it when they had 5 home games. Like, no. I mean, I realize, okay, now it's, you've got 5 at home and 3 away the rest of the way. I understand that. But you should just, on principle, you shouldn't be doing it. Talking from the conference point of view. So they're going to announce that later today. All right, Michigan. Can't get away from this one, nor should you get away from this one. 90-minute conference call yesterday that included athletic directors and coaches. Pete Thamel reported, no offense, the obvious. But, you know, he did it with sourcing, because Pete always does things with sourcing, which makes him such a really terrific reporter. Okay? But Tony Petitti heard an absolute earful yesterday. It was not gentle commentary. People in this conference are mad. The last thing they want to see is to see somebody get away with it, regardless of who it is. And as much as Michigan would like to play the delay game, push it back, push it back, push it back, push it back, so they can get through this season, no offense, but if you have enough evidence, you can't delay. And for anybody out there saying, well, I don't see any evidence, you have no idea. They have a lot more evidence than you realize. A lot more. Because here's what happened, in my opinion, based on how I understand this, is that it is alleged it went on starting in the 2021 season. Now, this guy's been on the payroll the last 19 months. This is not a rogue operation in the end. Okay? Not like one guy, like, oh, one guy, we go, you know. Okay? Who's making $55,000 a year. Why is it coming to light now and didn't come to light last year or the year before? And this is only my personal opinion, but I think there's a lot of solid information behind it. That it was going along so well, he got sloppy. He got sloppy. And when you get sloppy, you make mistakes. And that's what happened. As to why now there are people circling around Michigan, because I think he got possibly overconfident with it. And when you get overconfident with something, you get a little loose and you get sloppy. And one of the keys will be follow the money. He makes $55,000 a year. You're telling me that on that salary, he was paying out of his own pocket for these people to go to games? Really? No. The money had to come from some place or is under some category. And that's the issue. in terms of the ability to nail them down and why they're, you know, there's video evidence of it happening in a Big Ten stadium, video evidence of it. You now have individuals saying that they were part of it that were obviously the ones that went to the stadiums. And it's not just one stadium where they have video. There's multiple. And it wasn't just that he's buying game tickets. I mean, they were given extra money beyond the game ticket that it's alleged. Now, you may ask yourself, what keeps other teams from saying, other schools, we're not playing you this week? So let's take Purdue. Purdue's the next team up for Michigan. What keeps them from saying, you know what? We strongly believe this. We're not going to take the field against you. Quite simply, there's a contract with NBC. The pressure would be heavy from the conference to say, hey, look, we can't tell NBC no. So we'll see. Because it sounds like there is a paper trail with this. That's a big issue. And if there is a paper trail, which it sounds like there very well might be, then they have a gigantic problem. And the other part of this is, if anybody thinks that other coaches on the staff didn't know, don't be naive. Please. Based on somebody putting together a 550-page manifesto on Michigan football, based on how sloppy he got with a few things along the way this year, you don't think he's not going through the building bragging about some of the stuff he did? I'm not saying he did, but geez, you sure doggone. You can draw a line and get pretty close. Again. But the parts that are out there because you got sloppy is video evidence of people doing it. And then interviews with at least a couple of them saying, oh, yeah, and they got the money. And, I mean, one said it was $1,000. Well, where is he coming up with this? Makes $55,000 a year. And he's on the Michigan payroll. He's listed as an analyst, by the way. So you know. That's his official title, analyst. So, let's see, at least a couple of initial looks at the Big Ten schedule coming out. Brett McMurphy is reporting some of the highlights, according to Action Network HQ. October 5th is when Penn State will host UCLA at Beaver Stadium. And then the next week, Penn State goes out to Los Angeles to play USC. USC's at Michigan on the 21st of September. Wisconsin's at USC on the 28th. Oregon's at UCLA on the 28th. Washington is at Rutgers. On the 5th, UCLA is at Beaver Stadium. Michigan's at Washington. Iowa at Ohio State. USC at Minnesota. On the 12th of October, Ohio State is at Oregon. Washington is at Iowa. Penn State's at USC. So we're going to play in the Coliseum on the 12th of October. On the 19th, UCLA's at Rutgers. On the 26th, Nebraska's at Ohio State. Michigan State is at Michigan. On November 2nd, Penn State is hosting Ohio State. Oregon is at Michigan. UCLA's at Nebraska. USC's at Washington. On the 19th of November, Penn State's hosting Washington. And Iowa's at UCLA playing at the Rose Bowl. Then it's on the 16th of November, Nebraska's at USC, Oregon's at Wisconsin. 23rd, UCLA is at USC. Wisconsin's at Nebraska. On the 30th, Michigan's at Ohio State. Washington's at Oregon. Nebraska's at Iowa. Not so sure that game's on the 30th, though. I think that game, the Nebraska-Iowa game, I think it's going to be on the 29th. Which is Black Friday. They always play that game on Black Friday, so I don't see that game changing. Didn't change this year with Penn State even playing Michigan State at night. So, at least it gives you some feel as to what some of the games happen to be for Penn State. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Bruce Feldman put out a tweet, and then it was followed by Nicole Auerbach. Let's talk about Feldman and Auerbach. They did their story on The Athletic, and they are upset. The coaches and the athletic directors with the fact that they feel, and schools are turning things in, by the way, they're upset because they feel like nothing's being done. That's the key. Here's a quote. Big Ten coach said, quote, there is a ton of frustration. Look at Jim Harbaugh's record before this started. The guy was on the hot seat before 21. Now he's like king of college football. No doubt this is all had a profound effect. This guy's being investigated for three different things right now, between alleged signal stealing, alleged illegal recruiting during COVID, and that investigation into the offensive coordinator and alleged computer hacking. These are guys on that call who could lose their jobs. And then there's this guy over here, referring to Harbaugh, who's going to get a bigger, newer contract, and they won't do anything about him. Asked to describe the tone of the coach's sentiment expressed to Tony Petitti, another Big Ten coach, called it angry, particularly at the Big Ten's lack of action or apparent interest in taking any. The coach said to The Athletic, "Everybody's upset. Why is nothing being done? We want to know what else you need to do to take action. We, the Big Ten head coaches, want something done now. I don't think people understand the advantage that they're allegedly doing gives you. People think, okay, now that everybody knows, we can just move on. Like, now it's fair. Well, no, it isn't. Not at all. This changes the way you operate. A lot of teams have been doing things a certain way for years. Now it's forcing you to teach your players a whole new way to communicate just for them. People think that this is just advanced scouting." He says this was near espionage. That's the quote. "They," Michigan, "have been manipulating the game and cheating the game for 2.5 years. To know exactly what the other team is doing, Michigan might as well have been playing with 15 guys in the field. What's the message the Big Ten is sending now by doing nothing? Win now, pay later? We might as well just send people to scout their practices and their games. It doesn't encourage anybody to follow the rules. It's just telling them to do the opposite and say, F it." These are quotes from the coaches. Another Big Ten coach: "The Big Ten is so much more powerful than the NCAA. Why are you just sitting back and doing nothing about this? The Big Ten can't pound its chest for the last 30 years about how it does the right thing ethically when other conferences like the SEC won't, and then have this go on. If this were a team in the bottom half of the Big Ten, would this not be handled in the same way?" Exactly. What did I say about James Madison? They're telling James Madison, despite the fact that they are playing one FCS game and 11 FBS games, they're not eligible for the conference championship or a bowl game. Why? Because it's James Madison. The NCAA just always, right, comes down hard on the weak and the meek, and they cower in the fetal position to the powerful. I've said that for a long time. It's all there. The old Jerry Tarkanian, they're so mad at Kentucky, they put Wichita State on probation.
Your home for news, AccuWeather, and sports. Celebrating 90 years of serving the Susquehanna Valley. We are WKOK Sunbury.